Sucky, sucky journalism. Why is journalism so sucky? It's one more thing.
Armstrong and Getty.
One more thing.
That's why they should do one of the ends on 60 Minutes sometimes. They come back and you're sitting there on the stool in front of a black background. Sucky, sucky journalism.
Wait a minute,
why is journalism so sucky?
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock.
Steve Croft takes a look.
Journalism sucks. I'm Steve Croft. So who's this egghead we're going to be listening to, Sean?
So this is Jason Calcanis from the same group of dudes who the Chamath Palihapitiya podcast group.
You're saying a lot of crazy words here.
What do you have to have, like 27 letters in your name to be on that podcast?
Yes. I think that's actually... No, Sachs. One of the guys' name is Sachs. So he's the rule that disproves
Slacker.
It. But they had a conversation about journalism. Calcanis began his career. He wrote about the internet and kind of technology as a journalist in the 90s. He was very early on in kind of the whole blogging game. So I think he has some perspectives about how the internet has changed journalism over the years. And I thought it'd be interesting for us to discuss.
Hit it.
The internet commoditized the reporting of facts.
That's Sachs. I don't think it matters who the names are.
Steve Sachs, LA Dodgers hero?
No, different person.
Facts. And so at that point, the traditional media went wholesale into
opinions.
And so now they all have an agenda of some kind. I mean, J-Cal, you know this, right?
Having been a journalist in this, it's really interesting to hear your opinions. And it really is a confluence of events. What happened was, the internet caused the revenue streams of the press to get just violently compressed or eliminated. So, you had Craigslist take the classified business, Google and Facebook took the ad business in subscriptions, Netflix, Spotify, et cetera. So you have all that revenue is gone. And what that meant was they didn't have the resources to do fact checking. And then the publishing schedule, because of blogging, which I was involved in, required that people file 2, 3, 4 times a day just to keep up. And so when you're filing even just twice a day, there is no time to get quotes from the subjects. So we have all, as people who are subjects, had quotes attributed to us that were like, where did you pull that quote from? I'm like, 3 years ago you said this or whatever.
It used to be
you filed once every 2 weeks, or maybe if you were in a weekly news, like a news week or a business week, you filed once a week. Magazines, you filed once or twice per episode, per issue, or maybe once every other issue or feature writer. Now they have to publish so much.
By the way, Jason, you said something.
Don't
do any fact checking.
That's really interesting right there.
Wow, yeah.
Plus, the commoditization of facts, that I had to contemplate that for a bit. A commodity is something that is undifferentiated from another thing. Like a bushel of wheat is a bushel of wheat is a bushel of wheat. And so if you can get facts anywhere, and nobody's facts are any better than anybody else's facts,
like sports,
I'm not
going
to go to the daily newspaper for facts. I got a million places to find facts.
Things like sports scores or stock prices, you used to have to open the morning newspaper to figure out what happened yesterday. Those facts are no longer relevant to the business model of a newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not worth any money.
Yeah, because I can get those free from anywhere.
Yeah.
So you have to come up with new facts.
Or no, you have to come up with opinions. And that's what the media had largely done.
Well, that's, yeah. And yeah. A lot of opinions are presented as facts, but that's kind of what I meant. You have to come up with new facts, which I should use finger quotes for that. You have to come up with new facts. Here's your facts.
And then so here's another shorter clip where he talks about how kind of the tail's wagging the dog in terms of the internetization and how followers are now dictating a lot of actions.
Your salary is now determined by your number of followers on Twitter, as is your book deal. And your Substack then becomes your negotiating position versus your existing publication. So someone like Kara Swisher, who is not full-time at the New York Times, probably makes $500,000 or $1 million a year doing her podcast with them in the editorial page. I would say somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million. Other writers there are looking at other people who've gotten significant followings and saying, I have to get a big following. How do you get a big following? Well, anybody picking a side gets rewarded. And if you go down the middle, you don't get rewarded because people go, that makes sense.
So there's that. There's the polarization part. You get rewarded for picking a side. There also would be, there's no reward for a breaking news story. And you think, I'm going to wait a couple of days and see how this shakes out before I jump in on whether George Floyd was murdered or not. You know, I'm going to wait and see what the facts are in this before I make a strong opinion. Obviously, you don't get rewarded and get more followers for that. That's interesting. I'd like to know more about the whole your salary is based on your Twitter followers, your book deals based on your Twitter followers. That's troubling.
Yeah, well, and if you're living in the clickbait jungle, if you put a reasonable kind of even-handed, sober opinion and headline up against something really sensationalistic, you're going to get killed, which is why our career path is suicidal. And we really need to pick a side and pander like mother scratchers.
Yeah, there are exceptions. I mean, we're making a living doing what we do. But the Dispatch, if anybody's caught on to that news organization that I subscribe to, they're trying really hard to like not react to the story of the day. They wait a couple of days until they're, and sometimes it's weird. Like I'll read their analysis on Thursday about something that happened on Monday and think, why are you still talking about this? I'm really not interested at this point. Because they wait and see what happened and think about it for a while. They're doing pretty well, but you know, I think they have a relatively small footprint.
They have also upended the entire business model of they're doing something completely different than what their competitors are doing, in that they are not selling ads, and it's essentially
they're
just
not counting clicks at all.
Yeah, it's all just subscription based. If you want to see more of what we are doing, please support us, because that's the only way that we can continue to exist.
All I know is I got one home. One. It's humiliating. I should have a home in the Hamptons. One in Paris, one in, I don't know, somewhere warm and sandy. I can barely show myself my face at the opera gala. Gala?
So
gala.
I don't think you're allowed to go if you don't know how to say it. I heard somebody talking about politics, but the politics and media are so intermingled at this point, it's hard to even tell them apart. They're talking about, everybody thinks it's a supply problem and it's a demand problem. Like people think about, you know, this news outlet is bad or Trump is bad or whatever. No, it's the demand problem. We have a demand problem that's upending everything. There's a demand for this kind of journalism, or we wouldn't be clicking on all this crap. There's a demand for our politicians to act this way, or we wouldn't be sending them money and votes every time they act that way. So it's demand that's driving this, not supply. And a lot of people get angry about the supply.
Well, we've said for decades, if crap sells, sell crap. That's what we're seeing.
Is there more to that, Sean? Or is that,
those are the only clips that I have.
That's really interesting stuff, man. That is really interesting stuff. God dang it. And so did I hear those numbers right? So they're saying that the sort of person that would have had to come up with one posting a week for a weekly magazine now has to do two a day?
And that was on the lower
end.
Sure,
even a daily newspaper. You don't crank out an article every single day if you're a newspaper reporter. You spend time, you collect quotes, you ask the other side, et cetera, and then you publish a big piece on Friday.
So in reality, at the time where you hear fact check more than you've ever heard it in your life, there's actually less fact checking going on than there ever has been.
Right.
Which is really troubling.
And the fact checking tends to just be opinion reinforcing.
I disagree. Is there fact checking?
Well, I remember when we had Laura Logan on, and she was telling us about how they did things at 60 Minutes and how they would, you know, have long conversations about one word in a story, trying to get everything exactly right and as close to right as they could get. And how she reads New York Times front page stories and says, there won't be a single fact in that story.
Right.
Which is...
Right. Did they ride their horses home from those meetings, Boomer? Please.
I don't know where this takes society. And nobody does. Nobody does. Will people over time, and God, maybe that time is decades. I don't know if we can survive for decades, but will people over time gravitate toward some news source that they think they take their time, they don't like just stick with their side? Will that emerge at some point?
Either that or the politics and the communication will just continue to degenerate, and smart people will figure out a way to manage it the best they can. They'll figure out a way to harness the energy that exists in the world they find themselves and get elected or get clicks or sell sponsorships or whatever. And it isn't necessarily going to be good. Not all change is progress.
I always want to
ask the dinosaurs.
I always want to talk to hardcore libertarians about this, because I mostly believe it, but What if human beings are just too flawed? We're flawed. We won't do the smart thing. We'll seek out whatever story backs up our preconceived notion of something, and we won't even try to find the truth. And therefore, we can't govern ourselves because we don't. We're just flawed.
Well, the idea is...
Because that's what we're doing right now.
Right. You would hope that in a system like ours, you elect the best among us and they transcend some of that foolishness and represent us even as they lead us. But that's why a republic is a better idea than a democracy. In a democracy, the mood of the mob is the government.
Yeah, but right now, people are getting beaten to the extremes in their own parties by feeding people more crap that they want to hear, whether it's true or not. People are doing that on both sides. I'll promise you the world on the left, all kinds of free stuff that can't ever happen. But I'm going to claim it can. You see, like Elizabeth Warren yelling at Joe Biden. I don't want to be president to think small. I want everybody to get to go to college for free and we'll wipe out all the college debt and all these things that can't ever possibly happen. Those people are winning a lot of times. And same with the reverse on the right.
I think the libertarian response would be, yeah, and that will yield shit results. And people will figure that out.
What if your society collapses in the meantime?
Well, what if your society can print the fiat currency of the world? What if your society can take on unlimited debt, for instance? Then a lot of the stops, a lot of the brakes on, you know, careening over the edge of the cliff are removed.
I don't know. It's really, really troubling. I don't see the way out of this. And some way smarter than me people, which is a lot of people.
That sentence structure kind of illustrates your point.
Exactly. Yeah, that is, you know, ironically enough. Yeah. I've figured out I'm going to write a book about this. And the only reason I'm going to is I have a great title. I have no idea what the rest of the book's going to be.
Doesn't matter. Title is all that matters.
The Curse of Greatness.
Ooh, that's pretty
good.
The
U.S. in the 21st century. Please fly off the shelves. Do they have books on shelves?
But I was listening to Sam Harris talk about this and James Lindsay, like some super smart people who have been saying, I don't see how we emerge from this. I don't know. I have no, like, I can't picture how this is going to come out okay.
Do you want the good use case scenario of what it might end up looking like?
Sure.
Is Wikipedia. Where when Wikipedia first started, I remember high school professors said, that's not a reliable source, right? Yeah. Anybody on there can type. But Wikipedia is one of the greatest sources of information that the world has ever known.
Funny you'd say that. I was thinking about that just yesterday, about how at this point, things have been battled over so much. You get pretty close to what's reasonable.
And that's what it is, right? It is an open source thing that everybody gets their input on, and through the aggregation of the kind of hive mind, you figure out somewhere of close to what actually is.
Although my understanding is they've really restricted who can edit a page now.
Yeah. Not every... Well, I can get on and edit a page, but they have... there are moderators that have more... influence than me, and so yes, it is not a totally equal playing field. They do have moderators, they do have people that work for the site, etc. But I think something like that model, kind of open, transparent, and everybody gets to see who's doing what edits, is what the future of all this looks like.
It's going to be closer than anything else we've got right now.
Well, Jack's question is, how do we emerge from this? My answer is, if I'm lucky, I got 35 more years. Good luck, bitches.
Wow. Is that what you say to your kids? Good luck, bitches.
I rephrase it for them a little bit.
When I was a kid, you could pick up a newspaper and have some idea what was going on in the world. Now, there's just like no way to figure out when you get up in the morning what's happening. It's almost impossible. And getting worse, by the way. It's getting worse every single day.
Good luck, bitches.
I don't watch the news.
It's crap.
It's crap?
It's crap.
Well, I guess that's it.